And I'm Gerald Lester. I'll be talking about a Tickle-based license manager, pure Tickle here. Okay, a couple points, and I'm going to be trying to go through to it quickly so we can make up some time here. This is about monitoring of licenses, not enforcement, and I'm going to talk about that because it does make a difference. I would do some, we have to do some things a bit different if we were to talk about license enforcement. One of our goals was a web control interface for the whole thing, and also email notifications so that while the administrator was off somewhere at a conference maybe, she could get an email notification that, oh, we're keep hitting our license limits or exceeding them. I'm going to go, of course, into the mandatory YTCL because we have to do that at the Tickle conference. We're going to talk about some technical considerations in both the client and the server. I actually have code examples. Here are some of the a little more interesting pieces or tricky pieces. I don't think they're really tricky. I thought they were interesting. But anyway, if we have time, I'll go into those. The code is on the CD. Well, at least it was submitted to go on a CD. I haven't seen the CD, so we're going to talk about the server, human interface, and a summary of results. Okay. First off, our goal is monitoring, not enforcement. Monitoring is knowing what the license usage is and notifying administration as you approach the limits. Enforcement was an anti-goal. We didn't want to stop clients from using the software when they hit the limits. For most of our clients, it's mission-critical software, and they'd get real upset if they couldn't run their system because somebody locked their office with one instance running and now they're short. But most of our clients are actually way more concerned about the license limits than we are because they're, in general, like Defense Department contractors. And in their contracts, they have license enforcement clauses that says they're not supposed to be running illegal software, you know, unlicensed. And if they get audited and found that they weren't paying us enough for enough licenses and they were using, let's say, 120 concurrent licenses when they had bought 100, they could actually get fined from the Department of Defense as well as then being made to go back and pay us more. So they're really paranoid about not being in violation, which is kind of good for us. That's the situation we're in. That's not, you know, it's not like Microsoft selling Word where they're concerned about those things, people bootlegging them. We wanted a web control interface because we didn't want people to have to install something else on their desktop. And it seemed like for license monitoring, it would be a good fit. Now our limits, we didn't want to just send an email when they got to the 100. We wanted them to be able to provide, to set their own limits and saying, okay, when I'm going over 90, I want to know. So if they're, you know, every day getting close to 100, they can say, okay, HMS, we want to order another, you know, 50 licenses. So you can actually set arbitrary number of limits, colors and actions, because it was easier to do that way than just some fixed number, at least in Tickle, of course. We also wanted to display usage and be able to drill down so that the administrators can see, I came in to do some work and it's Saturday and this is an off Saturday and no one's supposed to be here. Who are using these 5 licenses? Oh, Joe Inglis left his office locked and left it logged in again. Okay, we've got to get on Joe. And of course, sending email notifications is an option when they do it. Well, why Tickle? Well, first off, our product is 99.9% pure Tickle. There's 2 or 3 binary extensions, but it's no big deal. And what we do is computer-aided process planning and manufacturing execution system. The person doing the implementation was rather familiar with TCLTK, which is why he's giving the talk here. And goes back a couple times, you know, been one or two of the conferences. It's portable. While most of the clients who are using this, they're running on Windows, the client side. The servers, which we tend to be Oracle servers, clients have them running on Microsoft sometimes, but mostly on various flavors of Unix and a couple on Linuxes. So we wanted, I wanted the license monitoring to be able to do on both. And lastly, of course, I use Tickle because I'm lazy and most of the work was already done for me. You know, we have a good socket implementation. We have the web server for the server side. And it's real easy using the SMTP and MIME packages to generate email notifications. Being a lazy person, I like try to do the minimum I can, which is why I try to do most of it in Tickle. Client technical considerations. It had to be non-blocking. So when we're starting up, if for some reason the license server is down or the network's broken, like the one here in the hotel, you know, we don't want them not to be able to start up. So we're doing non-blocking connects because there's no way we want it to stop the operation. Nor do we want, if it's reacquiring a license, to all of a sudden the application freezes up. These are everybody from welders up through engineers using it, and some of them, you know, oh, it's not responding to me immediately. The system must be broken. Since the system's broken, I can't proceed on my operation. Okay, I'm going on coffee break for the next half hour. If we do have a lost connection, since we do want accurate counts at any given point, the client side should be able to reconnect. And of course, on that side, if the client just goes away because it's at the end of the day and the person hits the power button instead of logging off, we want the server to know. And of course, those are all kind of provided in Tickle for us. Now, the client code, I should have time. The client code, we do a socket async connection. And when it becomes writable, I'm going to call accept connection, which is basically telling the server, hi, I'm here. And when it's readable, the server really doesn't talk back to me very much. So when it's readable, that probably means that the socket went away. So that's why I call this one connection error. And I'm passing the socket in there. Okay. The accepting basically sends a hello message, fconfigures it, sends it out. Again, we're making sure it's blocking. And we use a counted protocol. So the first 10 bytes are always the count of how big the message is. And Gerald G., for this application, that doesn't seem necessary. Why do you use it? Well, I pulled out my bag of tricks that I had laying around, and I didn't have to edit it this way. Okay. And, of course, when we have an error, basically we kill the socket stuff and we tell it initiate a new connection. And we'll keep that kind of loop up until it works. Server-side technical considerations. We're embedding our socket communication registering in HTTPD. Now, the reason I chose the socket instead of just making a HTTPD connection, HTTP connection, was I wanted to keep it open as long as the client was up. But I want, again, my user interface being presented as HTML pages. And again, since I'm lazy, I'm using the TML files, Tickle Markup Language, to do most of the user interface. I do a couple convenience functions in pure Tickle, but most of it's there. And again, we're going to use that. So, on the server side, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to open up a listening socket for accept connections. And we're also going to put a trace on a variable, which is our total connection count, that says, okay, when someone comes in, for whatever reason, and we increment the number of connections we have, or if someone goes away and we decrement it, call the check alarm so it can process the alarm stuff and see if we're moving into or out of a limit. The accept connection basically does a whole bunch of initialization of a socket, of an array called socket data array, that's the socket, what state it's in, request, etc. And this is a fairly common way of doing a data structure in Tickle, unless, of course, I want to use Wills or someone else's SNP package. In this case, that just seemed way too overkill. And I'll go into that. When we get an incoming one, what we're going to do is we're going to read it, and of course it's non-blocking, so we're just going to read what came in. For those people who haven't done socket communications, when I do a write on a socket, on the other side, if I do a read, I'm not guaranteed to get like a full line. I could get a chunk of that because TCP/IP can break it up into chunks and deliver the chunks. As it gets them, it'll guarantee it delivers it in the same order, but it doesn't have to do it all at once because you wrote out 128 bytes, you might get 64 bytes and another read of 64 bytes. Chunk size is usually much larger than that, but those were just numbers that popped into my head. Okay, so basically we see how many bytes we have left, and then we go and if it's the header, you know, we're reading for 10, so we read more in, and if we're done, we go to the body. The body, basically, does two things. We either send a hello, or if I'm going away nicely, I send a disconnect. I didn't show that code because it was kind of boring. It just puts to the format with the word disconnect. Very simple protocol here. and of course, we're always checking to see if we have an EOF on the socket, because what happens on the socket communications is if you lose the socket, both sides will get, or if the one side that's still alive, will get a end of file. The channel becomes readable, which would fire my read routine here, but I do an EOF check to see if, oh, it's closed now because it went away, and then I just do my disconnect. Again, the connect is basically incrementing the connection, total connection counts, and then we put what program it was coming in, what program it is. We want to increment the number of each particular program that's running it, and we even go and put, we record the socket information for what host. You know, this host is running, has four sockets open to us. That's the way that when they do their drill down, they can see Joe English's machine has, you know, four applications running, all connected up. Okay, disconnect, basically we go unset all those things and we decrement our total connection count. And remember, every time we increment or decrement that total connection count, we're going to fire that trace thing that goes and does our alarm checking. The human interface, the server-side one, implements multiple alarm levels. And since I come kind of from the control side of the world originally, I put on DID banding, and I do two types of DID banding. Time DID banding. So if you go from level A to level B, and you go back down, I'm not going to generate an email both ways if it's within, let's say, 4 minutes you can set. And also a number-based DID banding. So you can say, once I go into A to go back down into B, make my transition to A to B, I want to have it go at least 5 below that set point so that you don't get a bunch of emails going out because Ron starts one and then Donald goes out, then, you know, Cliff comes in. And you don't want to generate 20 mails just because people are bouncing. You're right at that limit. So we institute DID banding. And, of course, when you define an alarm limit, you can say who gets notified by email, if anyone. And there's displays. I don't have any screenshots. I apologize for that. But it'll show, okay, by application, how many is this one using? And you can have green, is everything okay? And red, meaning you're exceeding the limit. But that's all user definable on their limits. And then, of course, you can click to drill down. Now, how am I on time? Who's 5 minutes? Okay, good. If we were doing license enforcement instead of license monitoring, couple things. First off, we'd want to make sure we compiled our code. We actually do generate compile code, and we'd ship the client the compile code here. That would be okay, but if you were going to take this scheme and try to do license enforcement with it, you'd want to make sure you compile your code. The other thing is you want to make sure you use a secure socket layer, TLS or one of the secure socket methods. And the other thing is you want to do an enhanced handshake. Right now I just say hello and fine. You know, I would come back with a, yes, no. Well, you really want to do a little bit more than that. And you don't want to just send your the first time over your license key or whatever and say, okay, am I legal? And the guy says yes or no. What you really want to do is generate a random number of no requests, a yes request, and some more no requests. And the reason is, if I was doing a man-in-the-middle attack, I would say, okay, I'll take over that socket and port, and I'll just say yes every time someone asks me for a license. Well, if my software is expecting, is randomly going, he's sending a bad license key, and expecting this time five no's and then a yes, and next time it runs, it might want seven no's and then a yes, it makes it much more difficult to do that man-in-the-middle attack. And I know there are better security people here than myself, so if any of y'all have any other thing to add to that, please jump in. Possible future enhancements we are considering, again, we're not considering doing it for license enforcement, is use of UDP extension for the client to automatically discover where the license server is. The current code you'll see, you hard code that in. It's in the configuration. But this would allow it to see where the servers were. Okay, technical shortcomings that could, but in this case, didn't present a challenge. Is Jeff here? No. Well, maybe one of the other TCT people. But as far as I know, this is still true. If you're running on a server and its IP address changes because DHCP notification, relicensing had to happen and the DHCP gave it a different one, or for whatever reason, your listening socket stops listening and you never get notified right now. It would be very nice if there was a notification event that you could hang like a writable or readable, whatever, notification event so that it would generate a file event or a callback, and as it would be another option, to like say, hey, you had this listening socket, but you don't have it anymore. It's basically closed. Okay, summary results. The client, including comments, which I had stripped out for the presentation, is 252 lines of code. The server side, of course, is made of both TCL and TML code, and the basic server is about 400 lines. The log management, which is way more complicated than the server, is 682 lines, and the support routines for the TML pages is another 211 lines. The TML files, including comments, total 532 lines. So the whole shebang was right at 2K lines to implement a license monitoring in pure TCL. Questions? I should have about 2 minutes, I think. Yes, sir. Why was I picking on you, right? Okay, the question was, do I run into any OS limits with like 1,000 sockets? Well, it would be nice if I was running on that big a license database, but the actual implementations we've been dealing with, it's more like they buy 300 or 500 licenses. We haven't hit the 1,000 anywhere near that set yet.
So even on the order of 300 to 500, you still haven't run into any
limits? Nope. That might just be lucky in what OSs they've put it, clients have requested it. This is an optional feature that we offer to the clients. Some of them have requested it and some of them not, haven't. So we might cross that bird some future time. Yes, sir?
Your system maintains long-standing socket connections between clients and servers. Is that hours, days, weeks?
Donald X, comment, our system maintains a long-standing connection between the client and the server. Is it hours, days, or weeks? It generally is hours in the form of like one shift, 1 8-hour. Most of our clients have rules that their people are supposed to log in and log out at the end of each shift. In fact, a good number of the sites have rules that they're supposed to reboot the PCs on the shop floor because they're one running Windows XP or Windows 2000. And it seems to run better if you periodically reboot them. But so we don't have really long running. We have not had long running ones.
All right. Do you have related to that? Do you have problems if a
client that dies without building a connection, the TCP socket typically will be broken unless you have these wires set.
The question was, do we have problems where they a client just dies without closing in the because the TCL keep lives? At least on the ones we've worked with, the answer is no, because you get a file readable event when the client just unplugs or you just kill him.
Not if the machine dies, then he doesn't get a chance to send TCP reset packets.
We haven't observed that, and no one's complained about it yet. And it might be possibly because how the network's configured. I'm not sure. Any other questions? Then I will turn it over to the next speaker.